This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Chris Eliopoulos and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Miles. This is Mike Scopa along with Chris Eliopoulos, and we are back from an extended hiatus of the Mickey Miles and More podcast, and we are about to start on another journey to discuss all things Disney and hopefully bring your way some interesting things to talk about, and hopefully we'll help you plan, and maybe we'll answer some questions that may be in your head, because there's been a lot of changes. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks, Mike. It's been a while. So, we were discussing this. You'll notice that there's one voice who's absent from here. Our little friend Michelle has been busy with work. So she's left the two boys to play by themselves for a while. Michelle can come back once in a while to visit and give us her two cents. But I think what we're going to do is maybe we should discuss our sort of new format, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's been a while. So I think that it would behoove us to talk about exactly how we're going to take care of this animal, and so that our listeners will get an idea what to expect, and hopefully give them insight as to exactly how we're going to do this and why we're going to do this. So we are keeping the name of the podcast, Mickey Miles and More, for the time being, but we expect that we will be changing it sometime in the near future. But rather than just start off with a brand new title, we thought having the old title will, bring everybody back, and will begin listening to us. And then down the road, when we feel we have an appropriate and a real catchy title, we will change it. And we're looking at ideas right now, Chris, but I don't think we have landed on one that we haven't
hit on it yet. So, or we could keep the name. Who knows? You never
know. Who knows? Yeah.
We're going to play this by year. This is a new one for us.
Exactly. So podcasting has been around for a long time. And I could tell you, I've done a lot. Chris has done a lot. And we listen to a lot of podcasts. And what Chris and I have discussed in a long period of time is exactly what would be an ideal length for a podcast. And we are going to try and keep our episodes to about 40 minutes, because we feel that that would be enough time to discuss whatever we're going to discuss and yet not, overstate our welcome. So we're looking at a 40-minute limit on our podcast. So if you like to listen to us when you're running for 40 minutes or whatever, we just would like you to know that it's probably going to be on average of about a 40-minute episode. Right, Chris?
Yeah. Oh, God. I get distracted very quickly. So these 2-hour podcasts that I see sometimes don't really work for me. So plus we're busy men. We have things to do. So so we're going to try and limit it to 30 to 40 minutes. And then also the format is going to be a little different. Mike is going to bring up some subjects, discussing good things, bad things, new things, old things with Disney, the Disney parks. And I'm going to help comment on them, but Mike is going to be leading this ship with all his wisdom. And as I used to call him, the Dean of Disney, because he knows everything and he's aware of everything going on. So stay tuned. What we're going to do is sort of work this format out as we go along. So and we'll try to make it a little bit more fun and not so negative. But why don't you tell me what you want to talk about first, Mike? Let's go. Let's pick a subject.
So what's cool about this idea is that Chris is going to come in cold. He doesn't know what I'm going to be talking about. And I will bring up a subject and he'll come in cold and he'll have, spontaneous thoughts, and we'll go into talking about what's going to happen and a lot of other things. So I recently went to Walt Disney World, within the last month, and I did a lot of observations, Chris. And one of the things that really made an impression upon me was the nighttime spectaculars, or the lack thereof. There are a lot of things that are not being done at night, and I'm wondering if it has something to do with staffing. And it involves a couple of things. Number one, in the Magic Kingdom, there is no nighttime parade. And other than if you go to Mickey's Very Merry or Mickey's Not So Scary, you're not going to see a nighttime parade. And I think that just begs to happen again. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I was very disappointed in that. The other thing that was quite noticeable is, and it's not just the Magic Kingdom, it's every theme park, with the exception of the Animal Kingdom, there's an issue with fireworks. The studios doesn't really have a nighttime fireworks spectacular. At least this past August, they didn't have it. And that kind of bothered me. I also think that they don't have Fantasmic every night, which is something that everybody, we used to be seeing nighttime parades every night. And I can remember many years ago, there would be two showings of the nighttime parade. There would be Fantasmic every night. There would be a whole bunch of things. Yeah. The other thing is that I went to Epcot Forever version 2.0.
Forever?
Forever is only 11 minutes long. And I don't remember exactly how long Illuminations was, but I'm pretty sure it was maybe around 14 or 15 minutes. Epcot Forever version 2 will be replaced, and that will be discussed in a later show. But the real crazy thing, Chris, and I'd love to hear your reaction to this, is that I went to the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party in August. I'll tell you, going to that party at when it's 80 degrees is really something. Of course, they hand out the candy in the air-conditioned buildings. They don't hand out chocolate.
They'd have to, right?
Oh, yeah.
You melt them all over the floor.
But, you know, when we talked about this in the past and on another podcast, I used to call it the $85 cookie or the $75 cookie. Well, it's a little bit more expensive these days, unless you can get some type of a discount if you're a Disney Vacation member or if you're an annual pass holder. But on the party nights, there are things that everyone looks forward to. For Halloween, obviously, it's seeing the costumes, it's the shows, it's the parade, and it's the fireworks. One thing that really struck me was the, I want to use the word, the paucity of fireworks that was shown for the Not So Scary.
The scarcity?
Scarcity, paucity, whatever you want to call it. But it was an 11-minute fireworks display.
Right.
It really, really was not. It didn't feel like it was fireworks with steroids, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
In the past, I know you have gone, we've gone to special fireworks showings in the Magic Kingdom, and it was 180 degrees, 360, of course, special for New Year's and Christmas Eve and July 4th. But on this particular night, the fireworks was about 11 minutes, and it really wasn't anything to write home about. Yet, if you go to the regular fireworks show in the Magic Kingdom, I forget what it's called. But it was much more robust. It was much longer. I'd say it was almost a third longer. And I just don't understand it, Chris, because you're paying extra money to go to the party. And and before we started recording this, I mentioned that my trip had me coming back thinking that Walt Disney World Resort has now become an enigma. You don't know what to expect. There are going to be days when you're going to be pleasantly surprised. There are going to be nights when you're going to be pleasantly surprised, but you're also going to be frustrated. So I thought we'd start off with that, telling you that I think that everybody out there who is planning a trip should be prepared for anything and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, we only did, so when the kids were little, we did the nighttime spectaculars, whether it be, you know, Very Merry or you know, either. But yeah, my didn't they used to have like two parades per evening and then the fireworks, or was it two fireworks? There used to be more stuff going on, right?
So I can remember back in the 90s when Spectral Magic was running, Chris, I remember going down to Orlando with some friends, and it was their first, and I think it was their last time. So I was trying to make the most of their vacation. So back then, Spectral Magic was shown twice a night. So I said to my friends, why don't you go to Big Thunder and why don't you go to Splash Mountain during the first showing of the parade? Because back then they did not have that boardwalk that they have along the river there. So when the parade began, you were trapped where Big Thunder was, you were trapped with where Splash Mountain was.
Right.
And if there were very few people there, then you got to ride several times. But I remember they during the course of the parade, they rode those two attractions at least four times apiece. And then at the later showing, they were able to watch the parade at a later showing with far less people, because obviously later in the night, there were young families that were going back to their resort rooms. So the parade route was not as crowded. That was great. But again, we don't have two showings. We don't even have one showing. So, and it's got to be a staffing issue. It just has to be that.
Yeah. It sounds like they're up in figuring this all out again. I think they've come out of the pandemic. They've come out of, you know, the changeover in CEOs again. And I think they're trying to figure out what it is they do. And like everything is obviously comes down to dollars, right? It comes down to how much money do they have to put out in order to get money right back? And so the P&L is, you know, we're going to hire less staff. We're going to provide less stuff for the guest, and yet we'll charge them more. I think they got hit really hard with the pandemic, and they're still playing catch up in terms of income for the parks. And they spent a lot of money on the new attractions that have popped up, the Guardians of the Galaxy, the Tron. We don't do those anymore. I mean, the kids liked them in the beginning. I mean, look, and you know, there's a thing too, right? I have video of my kids asleep at Very Merry during the parade.
Yep.
And the Green Army men came up like playing drums like 2 inches from their heads, which of course probably made them go deaf, but they didn't even wake up. They didn't even notice. So, you know, is it worth it? I think once a trip if you're going, but they got to start providing more for the money that you're like, it's almost, what did you say the cost was for the Halloween version?
I don't know, Chris. It was I have to
be like
to,
$80 cookie. Well, it was
it depends upon the time that you go.
Yeah,
I think that the October parties are very expensive. They're all over $100. I think that the September ones, some of them are over $100, some of them aren't, depending upon what night you go. I do know that it's one of those things where you really should look into discounts. I think I got a $10 discount. I think it was $80 or $90 for the night that I went.
Right.
Again, it's there are some things that just didn't seem worth it. One of the things I wanted to mention, you had talked about staffing and cutting costs. A very keen observer who's been going down there for many years may spot a few things that will raise your interest as far as them cutting back costs. One of the things that I noticed was the new Fantasmic show. If you remember the old Fantasmic show, Chris, there was the Pocahontas episode. There were the boats with the torches and everything, mm-hmm. and a whole bunch of stuff. This new rendition of Fantasmic has a Moana segment, but throughout the whole show, while I'm watching it, and it's very much an enjoyable show, there are more minutes devoted to video. There are fewer cast members portraying characters or whatever. The most you'll see will be at the end when the riverboat comes and they're all waving their handkerchiefs.
Right.
But for the most part, they have reduced the number of hours that the cast members have to perform during that show. And I'm thinking that probably saved them money. You know, it's just like Walt Disney saying, if we have audio animatronics, we don't have to pay them salaries.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's salary, but I think in their minds too, it's also eliminating the possibility of something going wrong. When you have live people, things go wrong. But if you have a pre-programmed system, yes, sometimes it goes wrong. But like, I think about, what's the boat ride in, Living with the Land? They used to have a cast member who would talk you through the boat ride, and now it's just a audio thing, because it eliminates one, a cast member, so you don't have to pay somebody, but also it prevents things from going wildly wrong.
Right.
So I think for them it's a win-win, but you know, there's a thing where we were talking about, like, I've lettered comics for years, and I used to letter it by hand, so with a pen and ink, and then we went digital. It was all computer stuff, and everybody says I miss the imperfections of doing it by hand. And I think you miss the imperfections of a cast member being there and making it a unique experience every time. Like, every show is going to be slightly different no matter which one you go to, because you're going to have different cast members doing different things. When you have the Streetsmosphere people, your day is going to be different from any other day, because that performance is going to be different from any other day.
Right.
I love the idea of the inconsistency of an experience. Like, I don't want the same experience over and over again when I go there. I want something different. But for their sake, they're saving money and they're saving the ability of something going wrong.
You know, Chris, you mentioned Streetmosphere, where obviously there were, who knows, maybe up to two dozen cast members who performed every day at various times. Then they were called the Citizens of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see them anywhere anymore. You think about things like the attraction in Disney's Hollywood Studios, the Little Mermaid. There used to be a lot of on stage participants. That attraction has been closed for I don't know how long. The Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular, if you go to that, you may see a few changes there that it's kind of short. So I think that, to your point, there are places within the resort where they have trimmed here and there.
Yeah.
And if you add them all up, they are saving money. If you are going to put together a parade, you need dancers and characters and things like that, and you have to pay these people. So until things settle down, I don't know when we could expect anything to rival back what we saw 10, 15, 20 years ago. Yeah. And it's sad, because like you had said earlier, we're paying a lot of money for just access to the parks. Every time I go into the park, I look up at the ticket prices, and I was just amazed at to how much they are. If you're an annual pass holder, you know, you're paying a lot of money, but that also means you're going enough and you're using your discounts so that it's worthwhile, and it usually pays for itself. But these young families who have like a husband and wife and two young children, and they are going to Walt Disney World for the first time. Mm-hmm. Maybe you go minimum of 5 days. I would say, you know, they're spending probably three times what they expected to pay. And that's not counting things like their room, getting there, food, rental car, every food,
strollers,
everything's expensive. So,
yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, now that we think about it, like, you know, with the Lightning Lane, you almost feel obligated to get it to get on attractions. And the way I always was been saying it in the past few months is you're now paying for entry into the park and not to go on the ride. So your day pass, yeah. But if you are, I wouldn't have so much problem with that if there were more cast members doing, like, I remember, you go into Epcot and you'd be walking by, England, and all of a sudden some like Shakespearean play would break out in the middle of the street and you would just sit there for 20 minutes and watch them. And it was a great experience. If you're going to charge that much money just to get in the park and not even guarantee you're getting on the rides, at least provide some kind of entertainment. And then if people do want to go on the rides, they get the lightning lanes. I mean, I've heard both good and bad about it. I know Michelle said she was happy with it. I have a friend who said it's the only way that they could get through the parks in a short period of time. So if you want to go on a short trip and you want to see everything, you get it. But it's just sort of, for those of us who like just walking in the parks and experiencing the moment, it'd be nice to have more exciting moments pop up that you don't expect to see. And we're not seeing them anymore.
If you're paying for, let's say a 5-day park hopper pass, I would say, it's $400, $500. And then you want to ride Guardians of the Galaxy, or you want to ride Tron. I have an interesting side story about Tron. They were charging $20 to ride those attractions
individually.
Now, if you are pretty much sure you're not going to be going to Walt Disney World for a couple of years, or maybe never again, your first and only visit will cost you a lot of money. But I noticed that, and the prices change depending upon time of the year, crowds and everything. But I saw a lot of people spending money on Guardians and spending money on Tron. A side story about Tron. I had dinner with one of the Imagineers last August, and he had worked on Shanghai, and I asked him if there was a difference between the Tron that we see in Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World and the Tron that's in Shanghai. And he said that when they first opened the Tron attraction in Shanghai, there was no padding on the vehicle. So you're actually on your knees when you're riding it. And there were people that were bumping their heads and bumping their teeth. So when they made it for the Florida version, they put padding on there. But yeah.
It's interesting too. I heard a story, a friend of mine went down there. This ride, and I think Flights of Passage, tend to have the same problem. If you're on the heavier side,
right,
there are issues in getting onto the vehicle. My friend had said that there was a woman that was trying to get on, who was a bit larger, and they were struggling like to fit her in. And he said he felt like the embarrassment for her, like of being kind of put in that position. Everybody's waiting. They're all staring at this poor woman who's trying to get on there. So I guess this is the one segment where we warn our listeners, if you're planning to go, you might want to check before you get on the ride. They have actually a test vehicle outside that you can sit on and make sure that you can get in okay, and hopefully avoid yourself some of that embarrassment that this poor woman had to go through.
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal is not riding Flight of Passage. There's no way.
Or Tron.
Although I have a friend who he rode Tron, and he's bigger than me. I don't know. I guess they may have adjusted the Tron vehicles to accommodate larger guests than the vehicles that are used in Flight of Passage. But
hey. Look, that's the thing, is they have to make sure. The sad part is it's embarrassing. You can't help, and then you can't say anything up front. They have the height restrictions on these attractions. I think people would lose their minds if there was like a weight restriction on an attraction. Because think about it, like you turn around and say, people, an adult saying, I can't go on this ride now. I paid all this money and I can't go on. I don't know. There's a weird.
I'm sorry, Chris, finish.
No, it's a weird it's a weird thing to go through. Like, you're embarrassed for the person, but then they have a right to go on the ride. But if they don't fit, what can they do? And is there a way to alleviate that embarrassment up front?
And I don't have any idea what the cast members are told. You know, try to do whatever you can to accommodate the guests. But
is that safe? Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that, you know, we go back to last year. There was an unfortunate accident in downtown Orlando where a teenage boy had a terrible accident. And I recall he was possibly maybe too big for the attraction. And rather than play it safe, I think the person who was taking care of the attraction decided to let that person go on. And you know, I don't know how that, you know, that can be taken care of. Obviously, the Tron ride is different from Flight of Passage, I believe. Flight of Passage is, you know, you're not zooming and
right.
You take off pretty fast with Tron. Right. It makes Rock and Roller Coaster seem like nothing, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think that there is something to be said about making sure that the guests are always going to be safe.
But getting back to the fireworks and stuff at night. So mm-hmm. You're saying they're not very spectacular at this point.
With one exception, I will say that the Magic Kingdom regular night fireworks are very good.
Yeah.
I got to give them props. I always loved Wishes, but this latest version I think is really good.
I will say that we visited the last time we visited and we went to go see those Magic Kingdom fireworks. There is always like hundreds of people who sit right out front of the castle. They plop down. You're in there like a French fries in a box. And you know, and as soon as the fireworks start, everybody stands up. I mean, you mentioned there's a better way to watch those fireworks.
And I think now that we're doing the podcast again, I think it would be good to try and give our audience one big tip every episode and just to help them plan their trip and try to give them the best chance of having a really good experience. And I have to say that it's called Happily Ever After at the Magic Kingdom. I have always thought that the special dessert parties that are offered give you something that that's well worth the price. So, for example, in the Magic Kingdom, they have a before and a post dessert party. So you can go to a dessert party before the fireworks and you can go to one after the fireworks. It's at the Tomorrowland Terrace and the price is about $100 a person. And that's steep for a dessert party. The desserts are very nice. The beverages are bottomless. You can have as much as you want. The price sounds steep, and it's not about the price. It's not about the desserts as much as the convenience that the desserts offer you. Mm-hmm. By going to one of these dessert parties, you are given the opportunity to go in that area just in front of the Plaza restaurant in the Magic Kingdom to watch the fireworks. Now, I suggest that you do the post fireworks party instead of the pre-fireworks party, because in both cases you can watch the fireworks in that special area. But if you go to a dessert party after the fireworks, all these people are leaving the park and all that crowd that's exiting the park is just crazy.
And you're stuffing your face and drinking away.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think waiting an hour after the fireworks makes it a lot easier. But my point, Chris, is that number one, you're not required to stand on Main Street USA with all these other people for an hour waiting for the fireworks. And then again, you may have someone standing in front of you. If you do this dessert party, you get a really nice shot of the castle. You can have it's head on. There aren't that many people around you unless it's a really, really crowded night. But even then, I don't recall it ever being crowded. And it's probably one of the better deals in Walt Disney World. Sure, it's kind of expensive. But if you get to go to Disney World only once with your family, it may be worthwhile to give them an experience where they can really enjoy the fireworks. You got to remember that there are projections that are mapped onto the castle. It's just a really good deal. And if you go and you don't go that often, that one night that you want to make sure that you really get a really good experience watching a Walt Disney World fireworks show, I really recommend the dessert party. Every time I go, I make sure that there's a night that I do that. And I, you know, put aside a little penny here and there because I know it's going to be expensive, but it's
well,
it's
for that
well
one, you
worth
said
it.
It's really good. So, I mean, I wouldn't do it if it was like an Epcot thing, right? I mean, you're feeling that those fireworks aren't worth it?
No, Epcot, we could talk about Epcot later. I think later this year, right around December, I think we're going to see some changes in Epcot. But the Epcot Forever version 2 is just a mishmash of songs. And I think I've told you this off the air, Chris, that I really had no problem with Harmonious other than the visuals. I think that the Stargate hardware and the tacos just didn't do it. I really think that if Harmonious had just stuck with the globe and they had reprogrammed the globe, we may be still watching Harmonious.
Right. Well, let's hope maybe that with the new one, they're going to bring something back. You never know. But well, on that note, I think we've hit about our time limit. So why don't we wrap this one up? And any final words, Mike?
I think that the only thing I can say, Chris, is from what I've seen the past month down there, I was there for a couple of weeks. I wanted to really get an idea as to what's going on. I think it's more important than ever before to properly plan what you're going to do down there. There are going to be some things that you can do spontaneously. There are some things that you can't. And I think that you really have to put a lot of effort and time into planning a Walt Disney World vacation more so than ever before. That's about it.
Yeah. On my note, I am scheduled to run the Disney World Marathon in January. So my training has started. So any of those milers that are still out there talking about running, that has started. What I think I might want to do, Mike, is we're going to give updates because my son has decided to run his first marathon and has done absolutely no training so far. So
he's got youth on his side.
I know, that's the thing. So I want to see as we move forward, I'll give updates on how his progress is coming. And we're actually going to be running the Tunnel to Tower 5K in a couple of weeks. It benefits all of the first responders and their families from 9/11. So we run from Brooklyn, the tunnel to the tower. My son does it every year, so we'll see. So we're going to still talk a little running, I think, at some point.
Yeah, I hope in January there'll be volunteers. But we'll talk about that later.
Oh, that's another one we can talk about. Yeah, we have a lot of subjects to talk about. So thanks for rejoining us, everybody. And as Mike says, we'll see you where, Mike?
We'll see you in the parks and on the road.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.
You forgot the catchphrase?
Oh,
my God, it's been so long.
I'm so glad that you can edit this. We'll see you on the road and in the parks.
There we go.
In the parks and on the road.
In the roads and in the parks and on the road. On the road and in the parks.
We'll see you on.
I'm not editing this out. This is staying in. What are you kidding?